Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of I'll Give It to You Straightish. I'm Max Dubrow. And I'm here with my mom.
Hi.
So today we have very exciting guests on. We have people doing a short film that are going to come on, talk about mental health and anxiety and depression. But before then, we're going to talk about me.
I like how you say it in like a really happy way. They're going to talk about anxiety and depression. Best day ever.
It's too dark. I can't deal with subjects like that. I just have to laugh my way through it. Anyway.
I can't look at myself on Zoom anymore.
Yeah. Well, did you know that you're inverted? So what you see is not what I see. I see you flipped.
How do I look?
Terrible. Just kidding. So you got your vaccine today?
I got my vaccine and went in there and literally like the nicest people.
I don't even know why I asked. I've heard the story three times. Keep going though.
Tell you. Don't listen to my podcast. I tell it there.
Pretty much. I'll sum it up for you. She got the bad lady who made her arm hurt.
Yeah. Moving. The mean old lady. That's what I got.
With the haircut.
So what's going on with you?
Not much. Starting some music soon.
Are you excited about that?
I'm way too excited about that. I feel like no one's really as excited as I am. And no one's, you know, freaking out about how big of a deal it is. But that's okay because I am.
I'll tell you why I'm not. Hmm. Because I, over the years, I just don't pre-celebrate things. And I just want to go, for me, not for you.
Yeah.
But for me, when I have something to do, like if I get a job or whatever, I like to go do it and kill it. And then I'll celebrate after.
Isn't that kind of sad though?
No, I still enjoy the process. That's the difference. I'm not suffering it. I enjoy it, but I don't want to, yay, I got on this thing. And I'm
going to
go.
But isn't that just being happy about being on it, regardless of if you do it or not, still?
Oh, I am happy. Maybe it's like I don't want to jinx it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I get that. That makes sense. Yeah.
I don't like to pre-celebrate. Even like, so Dad and I, so our show, 7 Year Stitch, we've been working on it since last May.
I know.
Longer. No. It's longer. It's a year ago, December, that we started working on it. And then we shot this pilot last May. And then, you know, the E didn't want to make it in COVID, which we're glad about because, you know, it's really not a Zoom show. It won't.
Yeah, it would have been half-assed.
Yeah, it wouldn't have worked on Zoom. So we've been waiting all this time and it's going to turn out to be awesome because we don't have to do it on Zoom. But now we're finally getting to do it. Anyway, are we getting to do it? Is it going to happen? So Dad was saying to me, oh, this is so great. And now we're going to cast. Cause obviously we can't use the cast from a year ago. They're all in different places.
It's been 9 years now.
Now we have to recast. And Dad's like, this is great. I'm like, it's really great. I'm happy about it. And he's like, why aren't you like celebrating?
Yeah, I don't know why you do that.
And I'm like, I'm super happy about it, but like, let's go through the process. All right, now we're going to cast it again. Then we got to shoot it. And I will enjoy, you know, I love working. I will enjoy every second of it. But I just don't want to like celebrate. Is that weird? I don't know.
Yes, it is. I like celebrating because then
I love celebrating.
Yeah, well, then regardless of if it happens, you still celebrated it and doing it and having the opportunity. And even not just like celebrating, just being excited.
I am excited.
Oh, yeah, you're really excited.
No, I am. I got a shot today. I have a headache.
Whatever. Please.
Very excited.
If I have to get the vaccine, I want that one because I don't want to get two shots. Speaking of which, can you sign me up for that yet or no?
You can get it. Do you want it?
Yeah.
You do? She's shaking her head now.
I just don't really want to be, I don't want to get a shot when I
Let's hope you don't get the old lady at the table.
I'm just going to go to a different place and avoid it altogether.
She was like, oh, I think I hit a blood vessel.
Put some pressure on it.
That's what she said. She goes, you're going to have to sit here for a minute while I put some pressure. And it took everything I had to not look at her and go, 5 minutes, 5 o'clock.
She's like, that's your bad though. You moved your arm slightly.
You have rolling veins.
Totally happened to you though.
Totally. Oh, it's the worst. But now it's okay, I think.
I'm hungry, so I'm leaving. But okay, so enjoy the episode. We have amazing conversation about very deep subjects. And thanks for talking to me, Mom.
Okay, I love you.
Love you, bye.
Thank you guys so much for being here. First of all, Kate, how did this all come about? What made you want to even broach this subject?
Well, actually, my company, I don't know if you know anything about my company, Straight Up Films. We feature film producers, so we make full narrative feature films. And 2 years ago, my son got cancer, and he was six. And going through that horrendous experience, it really made me shift what was important, what do I want to do, how do I want to spend my time. And so while we were going through treatment, my passion has always been kids, and particularly teenagers. I used to work with teenagers and kids in juvenile halls, foster, like always had this passion. I always felt they were left behind, didn't have a voice, nobody was listening to them. I was thinking about what was important to me, what did I want to do? So I wanted to add another division to my company that was about impact, to create any kind of social impact. And where we were most passionate was teenagers. And I was studying a lot with my partner about what was going on. And we were seeing that like anxiety, depression, this is pre-pandemic as well. Anxiety, depression, and suicide rates were going in the wrong direction. And it was really baffling. And we started looking at systemic issues that were contributing to this. And we decided, why don't we produce a short film series that talks about, because we don't talk about the systemic issues. I hear a lot about, I'm depressed, I'm anxious, but then what? Or parents who have kids who have committed suicide, or kids who, I've interviewed hundreds of children in this process, and everybody who's suicidal had an attempt, depressed, anxious, but we're not really talking about what's contributing to this and how can we change. So we started looking at the education system. The next film is on the overprescription of pharmaceuticals to kids, which I'm actually directing, and then another one on social media. And we started with the education system, and I did a deep dive before we found Mackenzie, and we knew Sir Ken Robinson, and I listened to all his tapes and talked to him, and I was quite disturbed about what I was learning. And then we interviewed Mackenzie, and was so clear that she was the voice for this. I mean, you watch the film, people think she's an actress because she's so authentic. I mean, she was so good that people didn't realize real.
By the way, trust me, having done scripted and reality, I was just impressed, period.
It was good.
It was very good. And I think, one of the hardest things is to be yourself. So for you to be able to be so honest and raw in that space, I thought was great. So Mackenzie, how did you get involved and why did you want to be involved?
Yeah, so one of my friends on my water polo team, her mom was friends with one of the casting directors. And I believe it was a casting director. They were looking for specifically for someone from my school. So my water polo teammate, her mom, put me in contact, and I had a few interviews, and they told me more about the project and what it entailed. And originally I was pretty hesitant to join and to contribute because, it is the thought of being vulnerable on camera and especially talking about something that is such a sensitive topic, but is such a well-deserved, very desperately needed to be discussed. It was kind of, I was really weighing those pros and cons, especially being a senior in high school. I wanted to have a nice end of high school, considering the trials that came along with being a student. So in the end, I kind of realized that, I can still be a part of this while being thoughtful to my community. And I have realized that this is not about my school. This is not about me. This is about everybody else.
Yeah.
This is about the system as a whole, because it's not impacting the students just in my community, the students just in my district, the students just in my school. It's impacting everybody. So
it's interesting. But Kate, what I find interesting about this is that you were talking about the systemic problems, and there clearly are. I mean, clearly. But what I thought was interesting about Mackenzie is that you were homeschooled until through eighth grade, right?
I was homeschooled from second grade to sixth grade.
And then you went to middle school. See, to me, Max and I were just talking about this. Mm-hmm. I think the systemic problem is middle school. There is something wrong.
No one talks about how traumatizing middle school
is. Middle school is traumatizing. Everyone's hormonally charged and going through puberty. And there is something wrong with the way we are handling, I mean, in our day too, with the way we're handling these kids. Because I feel like up until sixth grade, pretty much, we're good. We got them handled. Everyone's doing well. It's that, do you think so, Max, or no?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of like almost too much freedom, but not enough. Like they're at an age where you can, you know, you can't drive and you can't really go anywhere without, you know, explicitly telling your parents. But at the same time, you have all this freedom of you are completely in charge of your grades. And this is all like you have so much responsibility of like now I have to get into high school or whatever, but you have no responsibility for anything else in your life. So it's just a weird balance of everything is my parents' decisions, but now my fault if I don't get good grades. Like, when did that start?
You know what? Actually, my son is 9 years old and he's in the third grade. And this is when the standardized testing begins, is in the third grade.
Yep.
And I'm actually watching. I know all the kids because he's been there since two. It's like, you know, school till sixth grade. I'm watching the kids shrink. I'm watching the anxiety. I'm watching them completely change from these free-spirited, playful children to this pressure and anxiety that I can't believe what I'm seeing on nine-year-olds right now.
But don't you think that's the parents? Okay, so I have four kids and Max and her twin brother are the first. So unfortunately, they got the learning curve, Heather. But my youngest is 10 in fourth grade. And now that I know what I know from those two, I mean, when I look back to how much work Max did in middle school and how she tortured herself for nothing, no permanent record grades there, friends. Okay.
Yeah, no one told us that.
no one sort of hit that one on the head. She was totally burnt out. But the other kids, I'm like, it's fine. You'll worry about it next year.
Yeah, right. It's like kind of the classic like gifted child in middle school burns themselves out and then in high school you can't do anymore. I see that a lot.
There's this weird competition that Mackenzie, you can speak to as well, because we've talked about this. Like there's a competitive thing with the kids right now, really young, or at least in my son's class. And like I don't put any pressure on my kid. If he gets like a 13 out of 15, he comes to me and says, I got two wrong. And I say, no, you got 13 right. Like that's the way I think, right? But he has this pressure. It's from the school. It's from the school.
Is it from the other kids too?
From the school and the other kids. I completely agree.
Yeah.
So Mackenzie, what was that transition like for you from homeschool to being thrown in the fire in middle school with all the friends and the pressure and the everything?
Yeah, actually, I had a really smooth transition between homeschooling and, you know, going back to the traditional school setting. First seventh grade, I was in this kind of alternative learning school. It was kind of like a charter school, I guess. And I had about 11 kids total in my grade. It was very small. Something I really appreciate about it, maybe called a Montessori school. I don't remember exactly. But there were 11 kids. And I think the beautiful thing about that school is that the teachers were very comfortable. You know, it was very similar to homeschooling in the sense that I was able to have some sort of decision or some sort of impact on what I was learning and how I was learning. For example, in the history portion of our class, we got to decide that we want to, you know, they asked us, here are your options. What eras or what countries or what cultures you'd like to learn about. So you as a class can decide which one you find most interesting that you would like to learn and what order you would like to learn them in. So I thought that was really interesting, having that kind of freedom and deciding on what I found interesting and what I found would benefit me the most as a student getting an education. That is like a lot of responsibility as a seventh grader, but I think it was really cool to have that opportunity to decide and collaborate with my teammates. Sorry, I play water polo. I got a team. Say that a lot. Collaborate with my classmates to decide what we wanted to learn about. And then in eighth grade, I transitioned to a public middle school in my high school's district, which was called Pacific Trails Middle School.
Was that culture shock?
It was culture shock going from a grade of 11 kids to a class of about 30 to 40 kids. Yeah. So it was a big jump. But since the school was pretty new. I think it was the second year that of being open. And I had a lot of support from my teachers, but it was different in the sense that instead of the teachers coming to me to support me, I had to go to my teachers to get that support. I had to learn how to communicate better with my teachers and express my needs for my education. And there were times where I would have to put in the extra work as an eighth grader, have more responsibility. Okay, if I want to do better in math class, I have to stay for office hours. I have to stay after school. I have the resources necessary. My teachers are willing, they're, ready, willing, and able to help, but I have to be the one.
What's interesting about that is, that's what colleges look for. They look for kids that are in an environment.
That's what I was going to say is I think a lot of the part, so what she was talking about middle school, I think a lot of it and what she likes specifically about that middle school, and I think she might agree, but is the individualism and how when you're applying for college, you're grouped into everyone that has the same grades, the same GPA, same extracurriculars. And regardless of that, you're all just pieces of paper they're reviewing. Like you, there's no individualism going into college. And like when you go to a middle school or like any school like that, you get this.
she'll come back.
You get this sense of, I get to choose and I get to choose what I'm learning. And then you go to high school and you realize it doesn't even matter what I want to do. They're going to tell me I have to do these AP classes and I have to do these certain classes to get into the schools I want to, regardless of if you want to or not. And another thing is specifically with what she said about the middle school and having to go to her teachers. I think another thing about middle school versus high school is that, or like lower school versus middle school, is that when you're younger, they baby you. The teachers, what she said, come to you, help you. When right. you get older, it's suddenly a change and you have to help yourself and they're just there in case you need them. Like you, but they never tell you when you have to start doing that. Cause then you just kind of have to guess.
You have to guess when to start self-advocating. I agree with that. I remember being in high school and in my high school, they ran it like a college. It was separate buildings. And even when you got your classes for the next year, they had set up tables and you had to go with these cards and figure out your schedule. And they really did prepare you for college. It was supposed to be a college prep. That's what high school always was. But now, man, I mean, you guys have so much pressure on you to not just be prepared for college, but to figure out exactly what you want to do. Did you read that article in the LA Times today? Mm-hmm. There's an article. I don't know. Well, my husband just sent it to me like an hour ago. I think it was today. But it was all about the UC schools and how impossible it is to get into any UC school now. And, these kids with, 4.2 averages and 5 AP classes and all this stuff just literally can't get in, except if you pick a different major. But you can't play games and pick a major you don't like because they're saying it's impossible to switch over. It's just crazy. So is this what's all leading to all of this pressure on you guys? Wait, what grade are you in now, Mackenzie?
I am a senior in high school.
So I'll ask you that in a minute. But so is that where all this pressure is coming from? Because you need to know exactly what you're doing now. Where did you feel it came from?
So I definitely thought there was a lot of competition in regards to college. And I think that, there are so many colleges that people don't know about in this country, but everyone wants to go to the same top 15, top 20 schools. Everyone's applying to the exact same place with very similar majors and very similar interests. So yeah, there is definitely a lot of competition there and it does send a lot of pressure amongst students, but it also kind of creates this discord amongst peers because not only are you competing against everyone else in the nation to get into these colleges, you're competing against your friends. Mm-hmm. So it definitely creates somewhat of a divide and definitely stress in friend groups, stress in classes. It just kind of just this big ball of stress.
I agree. I think I kind of have a question for you, see what your opinion is versus like mine or whatever. But, we're kind of almost the same age. I'm like a year younger than you. But so like when my dad was in high school and applying to college in his age generation, whatever, they did not feel the same amount of pressure. I mean, I'm sure he would tell you they did. And, it was much easier to get, we can all agree it was much easier to get into college back then. Mm-hmm. Since he's very old.
Guys are the baby boomers. There's just way more applicants. You're baby boomer kids.
Yeah, that's true. But also, they didn't have social media and stuff. So, it's the same app. I mean, yes, there's more kids now, but it's, essentially the same application process. Kids are getting similar grades. Yeah, there's different, 4.0s and above now, but it's all relatively similar. So what do you think, like specifically our generation, the pressure we're feeling is like, do you think we're putting it on ourselves to get into these amazing colleges because our parents did, or like, because I don't know, my dad would probably agree that he didn't feel as much of a pressure of like getting into college.
Well, I would say that the admissions process is pretty different in regards to what they're looking for in applicants. I think that, you know, as time goes on, kind of the necessities and what they're looking for changes. And in regards to our generation, I think that social media plays a huge impact, because back then, you know, Kate says this, she said it before, that when things happen in school or when there's bullying in school, it stays at school and you can go home. You don't have to deal with it anymore. But with social media, you know, it's at school, but then you take it home with you.
My mom always says that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, you can take it in your bedroom with you, you know, like you can take it in your personal spaces with you. So now there's way more competition to get into the same top schools. But now on top of that, there's social media where people have firsthand visuals and firsthand information of where people are going, where people are committing. You know, one of my really close friends, she's been getting into amazing schools because she's a really hard worker. I think she's really unique, and she has this charm and charisma about her, which I think is really helping her get through this process. And she's succeeding and she's getting great scholarships and she's getting great opportunities, but somehow people are finding out and trying to drag her down through social media. So instead of celebrating each other and lifting each other up for our accomplishments, the jealousy and the envy that is spurred by social media is creating kind of this warfare and this discord between students. And I think it really creates a very toxic environment, and then it just continues the cycle, and it continues into college instead of going into, you know, once you're in college, it's not about which school you're going to next. It's about what job you get. So it's kind of this cycle of comparison and competition. It's just this one big business. And we're all like these little pieces in this big machine, and we're just keeping this cycle. We're cogs turning this machine that is just keeping it, like, we're just going.
Yeah. It's
creating a cycle.
What Max was talking about before with both of you were talking about with the social media, we got breaks. We didn't have phones like that. So when you went home, you were actually home, unless your phone rang and you talked on the phone, call waiting, maybe back and forth, but that was it. So you got a break. You didn't see who was hanging out with you, because I think it's also more than just the school thing and the pressures of that. You're also having all of the social pressures and everything all at the same time, being distracted by everything all at the same time. There just is no break.
And there's no meaning or purpose behind it. That's the thing, is that what I had noticed in interviewing lots of kids for both the education, the medication, and social media, there's no meaning behind it. So they're spinning on this hamster wheel without any goal or end in sight. They don't even know what they're doing it for. Mackenzie, you said it so brilliantly in the movie. You're like, if there's no meaning or purpose, like, what are we doing this for? And the one question I kept consistently asking some of these kids is, why do you feel the need to go to college? Like, what is all this pressure? They're terrified of failure, which is essential in life. You're going to fail. You're going, and they don't prepare you for any life skills. It's crazy.
Are you too scared of failure?
I think because of my homeschool experience, I don't think I'm afraid of failure. I think at a point in time in my high school experience, I was very afraid, because I kind of allowed myself to fall into this competition and comparison with my peers. But from that, I've had to learn and to forgive myself and to understand that this is all one big process, kind of similar to what Kate said about her son. You know, instead of looking at it as I got 2 wrong, I got 13 right.
Yeah.
It's really all about perspective. And through high school, my perspective has changed and fluctuated. But I think I'm at a point now, after learning all the things that I've learned and having all the experiences that I've had, that I'm in a place where, you know, if I make mistakes, I'm going to look at it of what I did well and see what I got wrong and see what I can improve upon. But know that this isn't the end. Like, this isn't my last chance. There's always an opportunity to move forward and do better. So at this point in my life, I am not afraid of failure, but I know that is something that a lot of students struggle with. And I did struggle with it at one point, but I've had to realize that, you know, how the perspective that I have when facing adversities really define how I come out on the other side. And, you know, going into things with a positive perspective and a positive attitude has really changed the way that I see the world and how I am presenting myself and continuing to live my life.
Really like that perspective, but it's not as cut and dry from my perspective. In like my, because I'm terrified of failure and I know a lot of people that are, but I also think, you know, failure is kind of a mindset and failure is really, you can't really fail. It's just depending on what you want to succeed in, I guess. But, you know, I have these, you know, amazing parents who whatever I do will never be a failure, but I still have this fear of being a failure in any regard of whatever I do. And I think that like, it's definitely been taught through social media and I've learned a lot about failing and what failing is and how if you do anything, as long as you're not failing, you're fine. And I think like, there's a lot of kids, like I really want to go to college and it's not because I don't want to fail. It's just like, I really have an interest in going to college and doing schoolwork and blah, blah, blah. But there's a lot of kids I know that do like literally do not want to go at all, would do anything not to go, but are terrified to fail.
Can I ask you a question? It's just when you said you're terrified of failure, can I ask just what failure means to you? What is the meaning to you?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's very different for everyone. And I think specifically for me, it's a lot of different things. And it's, you know, it gets redefined every time I think about it. But right now, I think it would be like not getting into the school I want to go to because, I mean, honestly, it's like not rational, but it's just a fear. And I don't think I should make any decisions based off of fear. And I don't think anyone should, but it's definitely still there and present and part of my decisions.
I think one of the biggest lessons for the college thing for me, watching Max and Nikki and the college scandal and all this thing and interviewing so many people was that, you know, I'm from New York. My parents and my whole family was big school snobs. And there are, like you were just talking about, there's a million schools out there and a lot of really fabulous.
Right.
That we're not focusing on that might be more right. And I've always, like, I just want them to be happy and successful and independent functioning humans. But I want them to go to somewhere, go to a school that they're going to thrive at. And I think a lot of times what we're missing is it's not, and again, my mom, if she was sitting right here, am I right, Max? She'd be like, she should go to the best school she can get into.
Yeah, exactly like that.
Exactly. That's exactly what she'd say. And I don't agree with that. I think you go to the school that you're going to be successful at, thrive at, and get out of it what you need. Because look, if you got into, I don't know, let's say you got into an Ivy League school, but that Ivy League school didn't have like a Greek life or something, or, you know, some other aspect socially, or maybe it was in the country and you want to be in the city or vice versa, and you didn't thrive in that environment, that wouldn't be good for you.
I think, yeah, I think it's because the spotlight is on only a certain number of schools and people think that they have to conform to whatever standard or whatever culture that resides at that school in order to, you know, be successful. Once again, I think social media definitely plays a huge role in that because we're not focusing on the thousands of other opportunities in the thousands of other schools that are around the country. So, you know, maybe that other school that is somewhere that you've never heard about that, you know, not everyone is focusing on, maybe that's the right choice for you. But because everyone's focusing on these top schools and, you know, this is where you're going to be the best. This is where you're going to get the best education. This is where you're going to have the most fun. People are changing themselves and trying to fit themselves in a little cookie cutter in order to fit in or get there. So I definitely agree with you on that point.
And the percentage of people that come out of college that actually make a real living is really small. I mean, that's what baffles me about the whole thing is, and then they're in crazy amounts of debt. And are not even taught how to pay it. It's wild to me that college is the end game, but then life seems quite difficult for most people after that.
Yeah, and even if you see the studies, you know, they say like the kids, I think I read something saying like the kids that are in the bottom two-thirds of Harvard aren't as successful as the kids that are in the top third of the, you know, 20 lesser schools, like something crazy like that. But let's go back to the emotionality of the film, because I think what scares me as a parent, what scares all of us, is the fear of our children taking their lives. You know, it's crazy. And Kate, you've obviously been through a terrible thing with your son. And thank God he's okay. I'm so glad to hear that. But, you know, there's things we can control and there's things we can't control. And the fact that as a parent, that your child might want to take their own life. I mean, that is like, it's very hard to wrap your brain around. And I remember when Max came out last year, we got so many messages from parents whose children had killed themselves because it was because they couldn't come out or they didn't feel welcome in their home or whatever it was. And they wish they could just go back in time and fix it. But this to me seems even more remote. Like, how does anyone even know that this is going on?
Mackenzie, you should speak to, you said something amazing in our last interview about when you went to Rady's mental health program and the IV.
Right. Yeah. I think that there are signs and there are signs and there are things that kids express that may be subconscious or maybe on purpose for a reason that we as a community can learn to better ourselves. We can pick up on those signs to prevent these losses. When I was, after I attended a summer medical academy at Rady's, I had the opportunity to attend a weekend seminar called Mental Health Matters in Medicine. And throughout this weekend, there was a lot of talk about suicide and suicide prevention and what we can do as community members to better support those that are suffering. And after learning those signs and learning those calling cards and all these very, you know, it's a pattern. These things happen over and over again. And, you know, after hearing about those things and hearing about these signs and things that I can learn about so I can pick up on, I took that back to school. And upon taking it back to school, I noticed all these traits and these characteristics and signs appearing in my peers and classmates across the board. You know, people losing interest in things that they once loved, people not taking care of themselves and losing their, you know, self-care, or not talking to the same people that they used to talk to and distancing themselves, or, you know, these fluctuations, these signs, they were very apparent in my community, in the people that I had right in front of me day to day. And that scared me as a classmate, as a peer, because these are my peers and classmates. These are the people that I've gone through high school with. And imagining, you know, if one of these people that are here today aren't going to be here tomorrow, like that is such a terrifying thought to process. And it took a lot because there was a time where I would express those things and I would feel that way. And I would feel like I was in my dark place, but I had to learn, you know, I had to tell my parents, hey, if I'm feeling like this, or if I'm expressing these things, or if I'm showing you these things, check in on me, you know, like check in on me to make sure that I'm okay. And as a peer and a classmate, as a friend, I check in on my friends. So I think as a community, if we can learn more compassion and empathy for one another and learn about these signs and educate ourselves on these patterns and reoccurrences and traits, I think that we can all come together and kind of unite. It might sound a little cheesy, but there are things that we can do as a community to better support each other. And it's a question of whether we're going to do that or not at this point.
Yeah. I mean, I think the education in, you know, especially middle school, I think needs to just address all this so much more. Not, it can't just be one assembly in 3 years.
Right. Yeah. I mean, in my experience, there have been about maybe 4 or 5 deaths caused by suicide in my high school experience, not just in my school, but in my area, in my community. And each time as a peer, as a classmate of this district, of this area, it has felt, you know, and not just from my point of view, but from peers and people that, you know, that I've heard around me, it feels that these losses are being swept under the rug. Yeah. And, you know, there are superficial changes and very, you know, there are changes being made, but I don't think that they go deep enough. You know, I think that posting an infographic with the hotlines and, you know, saying we love our students, I don't think that's enough.
No, but I agree. We need more education about all of this in school, more help that's actually really help and not embarrassing to go to, you know, ways to get help. But I think probably at the end of the day, it just really has to start at home.
Yeah.
And also to stop creating the problem. The Sir Ken was asked by, I think it was an educator, I can't remember, says, what do we do about, how do we stop this? And he said, stop creating the problem. I mean, we also have to deal with the systemic issues that are contributing to this. I mean, why we're heavily focused on not only the systemic issues, but I don't know if you're familiar with Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning. Mm-hmm. You know, we're doing the film. Viktor Frankl's grandson is an executive producer on this because meaning and purpose was a huge part of this film. And it's a huge part of the series. And a lot of these kids are lacking that. I think if you have a strong enough reason of why you want to live, suicide isn't going to be an option.
Right.
You know?
And I also think we're not letting these kids find themselves. It's like, and you were talking about this before. It's like, and Mackenzie, I think you said this too. We do this to go here. You do this to go there. You get grades to go here. And what is the point? But to me, it's always supposed, like, you're supposed to have some fun in high school. And, you know, Max and I used to laugh. I remember at a school that she was at, there was these moms who at the summer, they were so little, they were like in second grade, I think. And I was like saying to the moms, what are you going to do with the kids this summer? Let's put them in camp. And they were like, oh, they have writing camp this week and Mandarin camp the following week and this. And I was like, okay. And that was never really our path. But I think we need to let our kids be kids and figure it out as they go, like you should, because you're not old enough in 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I mean, college, you're supposed to kind of figure it out, but I still feel like in your 20s, you should be able to make a complete shift. Max, like Victoria, right?
Mm-hmm. I think that's much easier said than done, just because, I mean, I completely agree. And I think that's completely right. It's just like, you know, you're my mom and obviously you want me to have fun in high school, but it's a lot easier to say you should have fun in high school and then have to study for every test to get good grades. Yep. And then say, Max, if you're ACT this week, you can't go out, you know? So I just think it's definitely something parents need to be aware of. Like, not just obviously like educating is like, we need to educate, we need to come together, all of that for sure. But I think it's something that a lot of parents just think our kid, it's our kid, that's never going to happen to them. Mm-hmm. And that's specifically, and then they don't pick up on signs that, like Mackenzie was talking about, or even, you know, sometimes there aren't signs and maybe there are not that you wouldn't really see though, but a lot of kids try to hide it. And I think a lot of parents don't see that. And then, you know, once they do, it's almost too late, or it is too late. And I think, Dev, I agree with all of you about, you know, we should educate, we should start earlier. But I specifically think, like, for parents and having fun in high school and stuff, it's kind of, I don't want to say it's hypocritical, but it's just like, much easier said than done, because yeah. You know, there's so much we have to do.
Parents, it's not the parents' fault, but I think the parents are, I suppose, a lot, you know, up to a lot of parents. I think exactly what your mom is saying is like, have fun. And then you go to school, and then you're saying exactly right. Max is like, you can't, because the pressure is insane. When I was in high school, it was not like what I see for you guys, not even close.
No, but me neither.
We did have a suicide at my school. And what it was the most popular and the best looking guy. And I found that the people that seemingly had their shit together, excuse my language, yeah, were the ones that were in the most trouble, because they didn't feel they had permission to
mess up.
If they had anything, they had this guilt, like, I can't say anything. And then they were the ones taking their lives. I was shocked, but there are always signs. The signs may not be so obvious to everyone, right, but there's usually something.
Yeah, I think that if we start that education and kind of, I think by just having and discussing these signs, I think that can lift and help relieve the negative stigma surrounding the topic. And maybe people won't be so scared to talk about it anymore if they feel like it's more acceptable. So, and then in regards to educating and bettering our communities, I know that not all the time kids have supporting parents that are, you know, ready, willing, and able to search for these signs and start from home. So I think as a community, we can not only support the people that have that support, but also support the people that don't have that support from home.
Great point. What do you hope people walk away with from the movie, Mackenzie?
So my goal for this movie was to ignite a conversation. And like I said before, if I can help relieve or lessen this negative cloud and stigma that surrounds the topic of mental health, I'll be satisfied. If I'm able to inspire someone to delve into their internal research and learn about who they are as an individual and inspire them to search for their meaning, I'll be satisfied. I think that it's really important to realize that, you know, this is the most, a very influential and developmental period of our lives. And, you know, events that happen here can be carried on with us for the rest of our lives. So it is imperative that we take this time to be introspective and reflect and learn, and, you know, not saying that you have to have all your stuff together and know exactly what you want to do in life, but having an idea of what you find meaningful in life at this point will help you set up your future. So when the time comes when you have to make a decision, am I going to go this path? Am I going to take that path? Like, which, what am I going to do in my life? If you have this sense of meaning, it'll set up that opportunity for you to make the right choice.
Yeah. Very good. What about you, Kate?
Similar to what Mackenzie just said. And also we're working on helping to create resources because I just give you a personal example. You know, after what I went through with my son, he experienced a lot of anxiety, and who wouldn't? And I spoke to about 9 different therapists, and everyone wanted to medicate him. And there was nothing wrong with my child. He had a circumstance that was overwhelming. He didn't need to be medicated. And I found that a lot of the resources are quite traditional, not saying that they don't work for everybody. It wasn't for us. And I found it was like talk therapy, medication, and not much else to go. So we're working on something now. And like I said, to create resources for people to have a place to go, to start the conversation, build a community so that you could call me, I could call you. Questioning whether you want to live or not is actually quite normal. I mean, if most people have thought about it at some point or another. But there's a stigma around it that just makes you spiral. And so it's the conversation, and then as well as resources down the line. We have to be part of the solution.
I think that really shows that we're moving in the right direction is that they just made 911 is a 1-3 numbers that calls to 911. They made a number 988 that's specifically suicide prevention hotline, I think, or something. It's something around that. And I think that really shows that we're actually trying to take action, that we're moving in the right direction, although very, very slowly. But, you know, that's like a good sign. And, you know, I don't think a lot of people know about that. So I wanted to bring that up too.
Yeah. I mean, Kate reminded me of this. I mean, there's this amazing Viktor Frankl quote that I find very, very impactful. It's those who have a why to live can bear with almost any how. And I think that if we can inspire and support and, you know, encourage our students and encourage our youth to search for their why and give them the time and the opportunities instead of the mundane day-to-day activities that school provides, I think if we provide an opportunity to search for your why, I think a lot of kids can stride into their future better off. And having that why and having that why to live will allow you to go through any adversity and know what you're on this planet for and help you get through those adversities. So
I agree with that. I think you also, in addition to your why, it's part of it, but what actually makes you happy? Because while you're searching for your why, someone might not get it as quickly as others. I love that. But finding things that make you happy, because that's really the goal.
You know, I think just to add to that, I think finding things that give you purpose, because a purpose might not necessarily make you happy in the moment, but it's almost even not about you anymore. It's one of the things that I'm noticing about these kids that I'm working with. We live in such a self-obsessed culture, selfie, social, everything is self, 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 self. It's actually getting out of self and being of service as what I'm really seeing making the most impact and having a great impact on these children. I mean, Mackenzie, we just shot our virtual premiere. That's our screening that we're having in May. And there was a girl who was really depressed and went through all this hell. And she watched the movie and inspired her to write a song. And she wrote a song and she performed it. Mackenzie was crying. And I was watching how they were helping each other.
I love that.
And I love that. I love seeing, I love seeing you, Max and Mackenzie, like you guys are the same age and you guys talking. I think that's what it's about. And then you and I are mothers. We can talk. It's just like everyone needs each other.
It's nice. You know what I like too? What I think is great, because I see you like this, Mackenzie, and I know Max is like this as well. This jealousy thing and this competitive nature, I know it's out there. It's obviously out there. But again, I think it's coming from outside in, because when I see all you guys talk to each other, I see a lot of lifting up. I see a lot of, you know, I see Max, you know, congratulating people for their accomplishments and everything. And I didn't grow up in that environment. It wasn't about school in my day. It was like, who was pretty, who was dating that person or whatever. But it was a different kind of pressure from the parents, but it was all there, right?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's just really important to open the conversation for sure and just try and break the stigma.
Yeah, and I know that in my personal experience and kind of in the experience of others around me, that knowing your why and having personal joy, that brings joy. Yeah. So it's kind of like a two in one. Like, you're not, you know, you're making yourself happy. You're doing things that make you happy, but there's this sense of looking outward instead of only inward.
Yeah,
where you're also able to have a hand in hand connection by doing something that gives back to your community, that also, you know, lifts your soul and sparks your individuality. So it's not like they're mutually exclusive.
Right. Yeah. I love that. That's
which I think is really important.
So I know we're running out of time, but I have to ask you. So do you know where you're going to school?
Yeah, I want to know too.
I'll be going to the University of UCSD for water polo. I committed to water polo. Thank you. I committed to play last October.
Uh-huh.
And
lucky.
It's given me a different perspective of the college admissions process. And I know it's really easy for me to just like sit back knowing where I'm going and watch everyone go through these things. But then again, I know that if I didn't have this amazing opportunity through water polo, I would want to go to whatever school is best for me as an individual so that I can foster and maintain my meaning so I can use that in my life. So wherever school that is, whether that is a top 20 or that is some school that no one knows about, I would wherever best for my, you know, my individuality as in my spirit, as my meaning, wherever that school is, that is what I would choose.
Well, congratulations. That's really exciting. And I wish you all the success in the world. I think it's amazing. So can you guys tell everyone how to find the movie and how they can see the virtual screening and to how to follow it on social media?
Sure. So we're having our launch is on May 20th, and you can sign up at straightupimpact.com. You can sign up now, and we'll have the screening. It'll be on YouTube, and then we're actually going to take it down. Because we're going to wait for the next one, and then we're going to have the series as a whole come out. So the only time you'll be able to see it is on May 20th until a later date.
That's so cool. And I really hope that you do, you know, I'm a sucker for an epilogue. So I'm hoping you're going to go back in 4, 8, 10 years and catch up with everyone and see how they're doing.
You know what we're doing is these are pilots for a bigger series. So we're going to, because you know, Mackenzie's film was 11 minutes. The next one's shooting in 2 weeks. They're all short films.
Yeah.
We're going to be expanding on the education one, expanding on the meds, expanding on social. So they'll have larger episodes and more to follow. And Mackenzie will be with us, God willing, the whole way through.
Awesome. Thank you both so much for being here. It's really fantastic. And I love that you're opening this conversation, continuing the conversation, and from, you know, great perspectives.
Yeah, you guys are doing amazing work. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for
how adorable it is, mother and daughter. It is so cute. I love it. Yeah, I love it.
We're very lucky.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate you guys, you know, having us on here. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Mackenzie. Congratulations again. Nice meeting you, Kate.
Nice to meet you. Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Thank you guys so much for listening. You can find me on Instagram at Max Dubrow or any other social medias on Max Dubrow. You can listen to this podcast anywhere you listen to your podcast. Subscribe, leave a 5-star rating because I don't get a lot of those. Thank you.